Okay, we're moving on to the southern leg of the Bring Them Home Now tour and checking back in with Linda and Phil Waste of Military Families Speak Out. They are in Durham, North Carolina, I believe, and good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Scott.
Actually, we're in Raleigh right now.
You're where? Oh, you're in Raleigh. Okay, well, I'll never get it right. Hopefully I'll nail it when you're actually in Washington, D.C.
That's when we have to get it right.
Yes. Okay, well, tell us about your day. I hear you were up really late last night.
We sure were. We started out here in Raleigh yesterday, and we headed down to Fayetteville, North Carolina, down at the home of the 82nd Airborne. And we joined the vigil at the Market House Square in Fayetteville. We held up signs and peace symbols to the people driving around. When they say square, it's actually round, and it's a building in the center of this round circle.
Mm-hmm.
And drive around. It's like a spokes of a wheel. And we got a lot of peace symbols from people, peace signs from folks.
Mm-hmm.
Very half peace signs.
Uh-huh.
It was, I think, a good response. Later in the evening, we went on to...
Before you go on to that.
Sure.
It was, there were quite a few counter-protest or pro-war people on the other side. The way this worked is they purchased the permit for our vigil, and I suppose the other side, when they found out that the Bring Them Home Now tour was coming too, the pro-war people, they purchased a permit too, so they split the square in half.
Mm-hmm.
And gave them the sunny side. Quite a few of them out there, you know. I mean, this is a big military town, Fort Bragg and all.
Mm-hmm.
It was, it's always interesting. And one thing I noted, there was a gentleman with us carrying his Bring Them Home Now sign, and there was this tape running down the middle, a yellow tape to keep us separated. And then there was this woman on the other side, and all of a sudden she looked over and she recognized him, and her face kind of changed, and then they had this wonderful discussion about theater.
Oh.
Watching, you know, people, we're just people. We're all just people. This your side, my side,
mm-hmm.
is just astounding to me sometimes.
Yes. And they found something in common to talk about.
They were obviously old acquaintances, and
mm-hmm.
the line, carrying their individual signs and having a discussion.
Yeah, great.
Even with the pro-war people, you support your troops. We all support our troops. It's just that they carry it a bit further to support the war.
Uh-huh.
And we don't support the war. We support the troops. Hey, part of those troops over there are mine.
Right. It's very personal.
Very personal.
After the vigil, we went to the Quaker House here in Fayetteville. And they have a peace house here. And they put on a lovely luncheon for all of us, and there were quite a few supporters there also. And funny thing was, our hotel is in Raleigh, which is an hour and 25 minutes away, so it was a long day. Since we had an event there in the early afternoon, they kept us there until our event in the evening, which went quite late, and I'll let Phil tell you a little about that. It was
okay.
Very interesting.
Hmm. Well, I was going to say also that being in near Fort Bragg, of course, there's a lot of people who live there who this war is much more personal than the majority of Americans at this point. And, you know, it's not surprising, like you said, that you've got the Bring Them Home Now folks, your folks, the peace folks, and you got quite a few people that are saying we support the war. It's not surprising at all.
No, it isn't. And the highlight for us was we have a granddaughter stationed at Fort Bragg, Sergeant Krishanda Chavez, and she came and joined us for a while yesterday afternoon, so that was a real treat for us.
Very good. That must have been. Is she, by any chance, the one that's facing deployment, redeployment in Iraq soon?
She is.
She is. Okay.
We're talking about sending her unit back in May or June.
May or June. Okay. Yeah. Well, we have some time.
We have some time. So
yeah.
We can... I don't want to say the word do damage,
right.
Let's get this whole peace train moving to a point where we can start pulling them out.
Right. Yes.
Point. This trip to Washington, this march on September 24th, is probably the most significant thing an American citizen can do at this time to mm-hmm. stop the war. If we let this opportunity pass and we go on vacation or go to work or anything but go to Washington,
All right. There's
an opportunity to stop this war. We need millions of people in Washington to march on the White House, and I think if we had millions, we could stop this war.
Well, that's yes. I mean, I agree with you totally, and obviously there's going to be lots of people who can't get to D.C., but I think that symbolically, people need to stand out publicly wherever they are. They need to find their nearest group of people that are going to be standing out, either go with them to D.C. or stand out in their hometown, and if there's nobody in their hometown, then start one.
Exactly. They need to get it going.
Mm-hmm.
Later in the evening, we went to the premiere film Occupation Dreamland. It's a new documentary that was produced about Fallujah and the 82nd Airborne.
Mm-hmm.
And they had three screenings, 5, 7, and 9. The first screening was for military, for the soldiers. It was a free...
pre-show.
Pre-showing.
It's hard to find those big words sometimes, I know.
It was a free showing for military members, and all they had to do was show their ID cards, and they could gain access to this movie and mm-hmm. the film.
Have you seen or heard of this film?
That's the first I've heard of it, as you're talking about it right now. So this is breaking news.
All right, let me get on it then.
Okay.
Occupation Dreamland, and it's a very candid portrait of the members of the 82nd Airborne Division that were deployed
mm-hmm.
in Fallujah, and it shows you just what war does.
Yeah. Oof.
The lives of seven people that were thrown together in Fallujah from all walks of life.
Different political views.
Mm-hmm. A typical American cross-section of people. And these young men faced this situation together, and it shows a lot of their personal interchange, their discussions at night. It is not a real violent film. It doesn't show a lot of fighting mm-hmm. and things like that. It doesn't show dead bodies. It's not a shock film.
Okay.
A film to
open your eyes to what it's like to be in a unit in mm-hmm. the middle of a film.
Yeah, yeah.
And the thing that I found so touching, as a mother of sons, were those candid moments, you know, at night when they're all together looking at magazines and talking and just BSing and... Mm-hmm. And they go into their boys will be boys with silliness and music and
mm-hmm.
sexual innuendo.
Yes, yes.
And it just kind of touches you to see them try and find normalcy in this madness.
Mm-hmm. I'll bet it does, yeah.
We stayed after the film. Next door they had a meeting room. And there was a panel that spoke to the audience, and they took questions and answers, and well, they met until after 11 p.m. That's why we're kind of tired today. We had to actually drive back to Raleigh to our room, and it's been a was a long day yesterday.
Right. You know, and if it was just the fact that it's a long day and just out and about, that's one thing. That would make you tired enough. But the emotional impact of all this has got to be very draining.
That's what we're doing is we're speaking to people, and we visit their homes like the Quaker House. And it's not just sitting there. We have to engage and talk and speak with them, and they have each have their story. They have their story about their children or cousin or an uncle or any numerous stories, and we have to tell our story, and it is draining. It is not as draining as it is for the Gold Star family. Someone. They rip that wound open every time they speak. We can't help but feel the anguish, despair, hopelessness at the loss of one of their children.
Sure, yeah.
The stress of dealing with our own being over there, and I think we had a 4.5 month window where we didn't have someone there, but at this time we've had someone there. In country.
Right, and remind us, I believe you have a son is he in Baghdad right now?
We have a son in Baghdad who is with the 3rd Infantry Division out of Fort Stewart, Georgia. They're on his second deployment, and he should be returning the end of December or mid-January.
Okay.
We received an email yesterday that he's okay. It was a brief email. He's very busy, but even if the email was just said okay. That's
right, exactly. And emails are fairly, I don't imagine there's much delay in them getting to you, so you know it's pretty close to real time. Is that right?
Yeah. It's been a lifesaver for our sanity, let me tell you.
Good access to internet when they're back in their bivouac.
Right, right. Yeah, and it's
okay. On the streets, driving up and down the streets of Baghdad, or doing just whatever they do have to do over there, it can sometimes be days because they'll come in dead tired.
Sure.
And have again in 3 or 4 hours. They're running long days. They're running these days 7 days a week. They really have no downtime, like, you know, a weekend off or anything like that.
He told us about 2.5 weeks ago, he says, God, I get to sleep in tomorrow. And I said, well, how late do you get to sleep? He goes, oh, maybe 6.
I guess I don't understand military tactics. Is this fairly typical in this kind of situation? Or are they, I mean, it sounds like they're running people ragged, which can't be, that would frighten me in terms of how on people can really be with under that kind of pressure. But like I said, I don't know military tactics. I'm not really sure how they do it.
The way the military is set up now, they're shorthanded. They're terribly shorthanded. They don't have enough people over there. There's too few people doing this huge job that they're trying to do. They have people that are highly trained, driving trucks. They have people that are technicians that have gone to school for one job or another, driving Hummers up and down the street.
Or sitting in the gunner position.
It's a total misuse of our army by this Bush regime. They're misusing the army, they're misusing our government, they're misusing our FEMA, if you will.
Yes.
Look what they did in New Orleans. Now coming out and saying, well, we're going to give you this and we're going to do that. Well, this is 2 weeks after the fact. Where was he right after the hurricane when he needed the help and people were stuck in attics and crying for help and ended up dying or drowning?
Right.
Guard set in Iraq.
Sure. Well, it's a painfully obvious pattern now that this, as you said, the Bush regime, it seems to be their modus operandi for various creating and reacting to disasters.
Yes.
So, well, I feel for you all with knowing that you have your children and grandchildren in this situation.
Well, we appreciate that. We really do. And we have found so much support along this trip. Gosh, we joined it on the 2nd, and where are we, the 17th already?
Yes.
Seems like it's flying by, and we'll be in Washington on the 21st.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking forward to that, walking the halls of Congress. Today, we're going to an anti-war march in Durham.
Okay, all right.
Hopefully, we'll be back early and have a little downtime. There's a lovely pool here, and I look at it every time I walk by.
All right. Well, good. Well, hopefully, you'll get into it. And you're stationed, so to speak, in Raleigh now again for tonight.
One more night, and then tomorrow we'll be heading to Williamsburg, and we're going to have a rally at William and Mary College.
Okay. So a march and rally today, and another rally tomorrow. That's great. Hang in there. If there's a way I could send you energy, I would.
And I have to tell you, your support and knowing that this word is getting out there, Scott, talking to you so often, it just means the world to us, and you do give us energy. You give us a lot of positive energy.
Okay, well, I appreciate that, and I thank you very much, and you know, I'll keep trying to find new places to get these interviews out for people to listen to.
Wonderful. We so appreciate it.
Okay, well, that's thank you very, very much. As one of our people that stands on the corner here with me on a weekly basis is fond of saying, it's the least I can do.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Yes.
Now, and let's take care of them when they get here.
That's right, exactly. And what is it you'd like to say about going to D.C.? I want to hear it again.
We're going to D.C. to take our country back.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, and a great note to end on. I will talk to you again soon. Have a great day.
Scott, bye now.
Yep. Thank you.
Bye-bye.